All of creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, a path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up the saint, let every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we see, even so come. There will be justice, all will be new, your name forever, faithful and true. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we see, even so come, Lord Jesus, come, even so come, Lord Jesus, come.
This is our prayer, Lord, this morning.
So we wait for you, God, we wait, you're coming soon. So we
even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come.
Thank you, Jesus, that you are coming soon. That is a promise that we can believe in, that we can put our hope in. We thank you for that this morning, Lord, and we just pray that your name would be glorified. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Well, as Donnie mentioned, and we've been trying to encourage our medical personnel people throughout the last few weeks to join us today, just because we want to recognize the importance of your job. I know as a nurse myself, oftentimes it feels like no one recognizes, or we do so much, it seems like, for people who can't do for themselves. But that's exactly what Jesus did for us. There's no greater picture of a loving Savior. He touched people in their needs. And as nurses and doctors and EMTs and dentists and whatever it is that we are in the medical profession, we have a chance every time we go to work to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, to do the same things that he did for us while he was on the earth, to touch the untouchable, the unlovable, to share with him hope. Because people who are desperate in the hospitals or wherever they may be, that's what they need, is the hope of our Savior. And I pray that this morning, if you are a medical personnel, that that would be your new purpose, to be the hope and the hands and feet of Christ every time you go to work. That would be your purpose, not to just give the best care you can, but to be the light and the love of Christ every time you go to work. And so my ministry, my duty, is the name of this little poem. It says, I walk through those doors with pride. Whose life will I save tonight? Someone is waiting for me. Someone is alive today because of my duty. Sometimes we cry because we can't save them all. God sometimes won't let us interfere when he calls. A baby's first breath when he looks at me. The joy of my first delivery. The tear I wipe away with my own hands. The life ending of a gentle old man. The night seems so dark and the morning so bright. Caring for others, can you see life in a different light? Who will I save tonight? Who will hold my hand during their last breath with no fright? Who will enter this world on my shift? How many mothers will greet their babies with a kiss? I don't know who these special people are, but I will meet them with every call. I will hold them tight and help the pain. I will hold them up when they feel faint. I will be strong when I am needed. That is my ministry, and that is my duty.
John tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue. And now say this last part with me, please. But with actions and in truth. It's so easy for us as individuals to tell people we love them and care for them. But really, I don't think there is a segment of people in our society who live that verse out more than the group of people we are recognizing today. Because they go beyond words, and they go beyond just the deeds and actions of a tongue, and they actually live out what they are saying with their lips, and they live it out with their lives. And they truly love in deed and in truth. And so this morning, we normally at Sardis don't ever like to do anything to put any visitor or guest or anybody that's uncomfortable in front of people, because we try not to do that. We know how uncomfortable that can make people. But really, if you would do us the honor, if you are anyone in the medical personnel field, that doctor, nurse, EMT, physical therapist, therapy, whatever it is, anyone, any role in the medical personnel field, you would bless our hearts. If you would give us the privilege to just say a prayer of blessing and give you a special gift for being with us today. So if you're in that field, will you please come up to the front of the church? And again, we normally don't do this, but give us this honor today. So if you would, please stand up and go ahead and come up here. And if you would, please give us that honor. There are several more that couldn't be here today. We actually have some that are serving in other areas of our ministries today. Pastor Jonathan is going to go ahead and give you guys a special gift. And this is just a basket of goodies. We understand that sometimes you probably don't have time to stop for lunch and grab some stuff. So this is a basket and a bag full of just some really good items for you. If it overflows and falls out of the basket, we'll just put what you can in the basket and take it with you, because it's our gift to you. Just a small way of us showing. And if you would just hang tight up here when you receive your gift. And if there is anyone here who you have someone in your life that wasn't able to make it today that's in this field, we made sure we made more than enough so that we could have a few of those available. We have a few more folks we've got to give them to that are here working in other areas. But see us after the service, and we'd be happy to get one to you so you can get to that loved one or that friend, whoever it may be, in your life as well. So let's go ahead, though, and before we give them one final round of praise and just applause for their service to our communities and to our own lives, let's all bow our heads together and let's say a special prayer of blessing over this wonderful group of people for their heart, their sacrifice, the difference they make in so many lives. Dear God, we come to you now. We just thank you. We thank you that there are people like these precious people that are up here now who give of their lives so sacrificially so that they can meet the needs of other people. Every single person here today has had an experience of some type where someone has came to the scene and ministered to a physical, emotional need in their lives. And we give you the thanks and the praise for the heart of these people. God, we just ask you to bless their lives. You would bless their families. You would keep them safe as they travel back and forth ministering, meeting the needs of others, whether it's a nurse or a doctor or an assistant in some way, or working with therapy, the emergency personnel, whoever it may be, God, we just pray that you would shower your blessings and your protection upon their lives. And God, we just honor them today. We pray that they would know that they are appreciated and that, God, they matter to us, but more than anything, they matter to you, and what they do carries eternal significance. God bless them in the mighty name of Jesus, and it is in His name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's give them one final round of applause as they make their way back. Please go ahead and stand to your seats, and you guys can head back to your seats. Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you so much for allowing us the privilege of just hopefully ministering to you in some way. Thank you guys again. And again, I just encourage you, if the nurse, the doctors, whoever it is in your own life wasn't able to be here today, don't forget to thank them. Now, I know we always think, you know, doctors, you know, make all the money and everything. First of all, let me just say, if you had their school loans to pay for, then you would need to make what they make. I've got my loans to pay for, and I went for 4 years. You go for 10 years, hey, all power to them to make however much they make. I have no problem with that. But really, don't forget that they serve such a great purpose, and be sure to tell them thank you. The same is true of the other folks we recognize throughout the year. Be sure to let these folks know how much you appreciate them. All right, we've been walking through a series entitled, But God Changes Everything. We've been doing this for the last few weeks. We kicked it off on our Fan Day, the last Sunday of August. We have talked about how God wants to step into every situation and all the most important moments of our lives and truly change everything and do what only God can do. We have spoke about the importance of how you and I wander in life. We wander away from God. We do that quite frequently. We actually make a habit of it at times, and it's not a good thing. But when we wander from God, He likes to pursue us in His love, paying such a great price for us, and find us to bring us back to Him. And we learned that truth from the story of Hosea the prophet and Gomer the prostitute. We were very blessed that Sunday to have Sloan share his testimony with us that morning of how God had changed everything in his life, in his wandering as well. We then talked about how oftentimes we find ourselves bound by many different things in life, bad attitudes and bound by addictions and depression and so many other things, but God changes everything and sets us free. We learned that through the story of Samson in the Old Testament. Then we talked about how there are moments when we don't have enough, but God steps in and provides. We learned that truth from the Old Testament story of Elijah and a widow from Zarephath. We talked about last week the significance of how when we are facing many realities in life, they seem impossible to you and me. They seem as though we'll never make it through, that we will never be able to move past certain things, and maybe we're suffering from this or that. And when we're seeing it with our own finite, fleshly eyes, then it seems anything, it seems only impossible, nothing but impossible. But God likes to step in and make the impossible possible in our lives. And we saw that as we learned how Jesus and looked at how Jesus brought a widow's son back to life and doing what seemed impossible, making it possible. And now today we really want to end this series. I'm going to be brave in talking about this with some of these medical folks here today. But I want to end this series talking about the simple truth, how we are wounded, but God heals us. We are wounded, but God heals us. And again, it's brave because there's a lot of people here a lot smarter than me when they can talk about wounds and healing. But we're not going to deal necessarily with the physical wound, being physically wounded and being healed, because the reason that some of you are here today and we've asked you to be here is because we realize and we recognize the fact that God uses so many of you and your occupations and your ministries and your duties to be the healing hand of God. He uses you for this. So we're not going to touch on the physical, but we are going to truly deal with something that I believe every single individual deals with at some point. Something we all have in common, and that is the emotional and even spiritual pain and wounds that we all accrue as we live this life. Regardless of what we all don't have in common, such as where we were raised, how we were raised, what we do for a living, and what we believe about this or that, there is something that all of us do have in common. And it is that we have all been hurt by someone at some time. We've all been wounded at some point. Wounded by a lie that someone told about us. Wounded by someone stabbing us in the back, so to speak, when we thought that they were beyond that or we were beyond that. Wounded as someone broke our heart. Wounded as someone abused us. Wounded as someone betrayed us. Wounded as someone abandoned us. And we could just keep going and going. Here's the reality. The wounds often can be so deep that we aren't willing to do the very thing that allows God to heal us. What allows God to heal us when we are wounded? What unlocks and opens the door for the healing power of God to go to work, to be poured out upon our lives when we are wounded? I believe that it is perhaps the single most powerful thing we can give and or receive. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. And maybe there's not a better passage in the Bible that helps us understand the importance of forgiveness in our lives than the passage we're looking at today in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, this is the first verse is found in what is called the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer that Christ gave, the example prayer, if you will, that He gave for His disciples and certainly for you and I as well. But in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 12, and then also in verses 14 and 15, I want you to notice what Jesus says. And now certainly all of the Bible is important. It'll all do to live by and die by. There are truths from the very front to the very end. But when we find the red words, the words that Jesus spoke Himself, then we always need to give extra special and careful attention to those words because He was literally God fleshed out upon this earth. And so notice what Jesus says in verse 12 to the disciples, but also to us. And again, this is found in the context of an example prayer that Jesus is giving. He says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Then he goes on in verse 14, and really this is the only footnote to the Lord's Prayer. He says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." But then he says in verse 15, "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." We are wounded, but God heals us. I want to show you just a couple of things about forgiveness from this passage this morning, and I just pray that it'll speak to you in some way. Here's the first truth that we find from what Jesus shared with us in this passage. It is simply, forgiveness is something we all need. Forgiveness is something we all need. Why do we all need forgiveness? Well, the first truth is this, we've all sinned against God. We've all sinned against God. If you notice what Jesus said at the first of verse 12, He said, "And forgive us of our debts." Again, this is Jesus exemplifying a prayer for us. And so Jesus is specifically teaching you and I about the importance of asking God for forgiveness when we pray. And we have to ask Him for forgiveness because we've all sinned against Him. In fact, the Bible teaches us that we've all done that. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. There are so many passages in the Bible, especially the New Testament, that teach us of that, but I couldn't list them all today. There are so many passages in the Bible that help you and I understand that we are sinners. That means that we mess up. And sometimes we mess up big time. Have you ever messed up big time? We all have. And here's the deal. I have set out on just a random day. I have set out to purpose myself not to mess up, not to sin, not to think something or do something or say something I shouldn't say that day. And guess what? I've never been able to get through a day without doing it. We can purpose ourselves not to do it and we'll still do it, because as we are living in this flesh, this carnal nature, as the Bible talks about, this sinful nature, then we are going to have moments where we mess up. We're going to have times where we fall short. And again, it'll be something that we think or do or say that's not right in the eyes of God. But we still think it, we say it, and we do it. Am I the only one that relates to this at all? We've all sinned against God. And if it's not right with God, it's sin. And it's against Him, and we need His forgiveness. So we need it because we've sinned against God, but we also need it because we've sinned against others. Most often, really, in my life, when I've sinned against God, it's because it's affected someone else along the way. Now, husbands, I don't have to share that with you, because you know that a lot of times we just talk and don't think about it. And some of the ways we sin against God is by sinning against our spouses and our families, taking work home with us and saying something we shouldn't say and doing something we shouldn't do at home. So we kind of relate to this. Normally, people are involved when we are sinning against God. And we all need to be forgiven because we've all hurt or we've all wounded someone ourselves. We all have. It may have not been to the magnitude that someone hurt or wounded you, but we've all done it. And although we do, we should never act so prideful when we have been hurt. We should never act so prideful as though we've never hurt or wounded someone else with our own words and our own actions. Because we all have. Every single one of us. And it's not something I'm proud of, but I wish I had a dollar for every time I've hurt someone by something I said, thought, or did. The time that I've sinned against someone. But if I had a dollar, then you know, I would never have to work again. And now, let me say this. That's not an investment, an ongoing investment we need to be making, because we need to quit doing those things. But we have all been guilty of sinning against other people. So first of all, Jesus giving us the idea that we have to ask God to forgive us. Why? Because we've sinned. We all have, from the preacher to the pew. We all have. And that's why we all need forgiveness. But here's the second truth about forgiveness. Not only is it something we all need, it's something we all must do. Forgiveness is something that we all must do. Look at the second part of verse 12. After Jesus says, "And forgive us our debts," we've sinned. That's why we have to ask for forgiveness. He says, as we are in the continual action, as we forgive our debtors. That means those who've trespassed or sinned against us. So he is saying, so as we are asking for forgiveness, we are to be forgiving. Forgiveness is something that we should be ready and willing and not reluctant to do. But we are humans and we are fleshly again. And even as Christians, it's something we all try to hold on to and not to give. But when we are wounded, it's certainly not something that's easy to do. Forgiving, it's not. In fact, forgiving people that have hurt us, I believe, is one of the hardest things in all the world to do. But I want to give you three personalized truths that I pray will help you forgive. I pray will help you forgive, because it's things that God has spoken directly into my heart in different situations. Three things. The first one is this: I must forgive if I want to be forgiven. Say that. It's personal, so say it. I must forgive if I want to be forgiven. That's hard, isn't it? In fact, some of you didn't want to say it. That's why you just let me say it the first time, probably. You knew I was going to ask you to say it. You know me well enough. Now remember, we've all sinned, and so we all need forgiveness. But look at what Jesus says in verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, we've been talking about but God. Now there's a lot of but gods that are good. This is one that's not so good. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus says something similar in Mark chapter 11 and verses 25 and 26 in a slightly different context, but speaking directly into this same truth. He says, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, he says, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So we need forgiveness. We've established that, but we will not be forgiven unless we forgive other people. And that means even the people who have wounded and hurt us so deeply, we have to be willing to forgive them. The second personalized truth is this: I can forgive without minimizing what happened. Say that with me. I can forgive without minimizing what happened. Because here's the deal with forgiveness. A lot of times we think that if we forgive someone who has hurt us or wounded us and caused great pain, then it means that what happened to us wasn't such a big deal. In fact, a lot of our hurt is truthfully and sincerely caused by big deals. But for some reason, we have programmed ourselves to think that if we forgive, then we're acting as though it wasn't such a big deal that happened to us. But it is. It's a big deal when people have ruined a relationship, when people have robbed us of our innocence, riddled our lives with confusion and so many other things. It's a big deal. It's a big deal to you, and it's a big deal to God. It's a big deal to God when you're hurting and when you're confused. It's a big deal to God when your eyes are filled with tears day after day. It's a big deal to God when your heart is filled with pain. It's a big deal that you're wounded, and that's why God wants to heal you to begin with and to help your hurt to begin with. So what we think is that because it was a big deal, then we shouldn't let them off the hook so easy. That's the way we approach forgiveness. Because of the significance of what they've done, the hurt and the significance of the pain they've caused, then we shouldn't let them off the hook to begin with. And we think as though when we forgive, then we are placing less emphasis on what they've done. But here's the truth. When we forgive people, we're not placing less emphasis on what they've done. We are placing greater emphasis on our response to what they've done to us. Not emphasizing less what they've done. And when you forgive people, you're not letting them off the hook. You're letting you off the hook. Because forgiveness is not about them. It's about you. It's about you. And here's why: because your but God healing depends on your forgiveness. And that's the third truth. Say this with me: I must forgive for God to heal me. I must forgive for God to heal me. When we forgive others, God will forgive us. And you know what that does? That opens the door for supernatural healing to take place in your heart and in my heart, in your life and my life. But if we don't forgive others, then not only do we have to live under the bondage of guilt because we've not been forgiven by God, so we have that bondage to live under, and not only do we have to miss out on being freed from that guilt by God, but we also make ourselves live under the bondage of so many more things that are ungodly to be a part of our lives. It's kind of like when a serious physical wound has taken place and you just leave it open and it would just get infected and infection would set in. And that's kind of how it works with an unwillingness to forgive. When we don't forgive, then that wound, it just deepens and it becomes infected with hate. It becomes infected with anger. It becomes infected with bitterness and confusion and negative thinking. And it begins to influence and impact so many aspects of our lives when we refuse to forgive. And really, in our hurt and in our unwillingness to forgive, we continue to hurt ourselves by trying to cause hurt to those who hurt us. I saw this phrase, this quote, and I believe it is true. Unforgiveness is like setting yourself on fire and then hoping the other person dies of smoke inhalation. And that is what forgiveness is like. And I know we find that a little humorous, but that's what it's like. When we are unwilling to forgive, then yes, we have all these attitudes and emotions in our life trying to get back at the other person, trying to hurt or retaliate or have some vengeance toward the other person. But in the meantime, all we're doing is setting ourselves on fire. And we're just consuming our own selves and our own hearts and our own lives by all of the stuff and the attitudes, the anger and bitterness that has no place in the life of anyone, but certainly a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. All we're doing is hurting ourselves even more and trying to hurt others. Now, I don't play these games, but I do know about these games. And there's a little game that's on a lot of these smart devices called Angry Birds. Anybody know what Angry Birds is? Raise your hand if you know Angry Birds. Raise your hand if you play Angry Birds. Raise your hand. See, about most of you kept your hands up. You can probably talk about this much better than me. You can probably correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. Just wait till after service. It's not polite to do it when the preacher's in the pulpit. So wait till after service and feel free to do that. And even though I don't play it, I was doing some reading about the game this week. Now, of course, the game is about Angry Birds, right? Angry Birds. Different kinds of birds who are angry at pigs because the pigs have stolen their eggs. Now, the angry birds are so angry and want to get their eggs back so much that they use themselves as a weapon. They smash themselves into bricks and walls because they're going to get their eggs back from the pigs. That's their purpose. And as they crash themselves into bricks and walls, and the bricks and walls fall, they literally kill all the pigs. Kill all the pigs. But because they're using themselves as weapons, they not only kill the pigs, they kill themselves. Instead of Angry Bird, it should be probably Crazy Bird, something like that. I don't know. But here's the thing. They crash themselves into the bricks and the walls, using themselves as weapons, killing the pigs and killing themselves. But that's not the end of it, because there's always another level. You finish one, you graduate to the next level. And when we are unwilling to forgive, we start acting as angry birds. We start using ourselves as a weapon because we are mad, we're angry, we are bitter, we are hostile, and we want to get even. And we start hurting other people, but in the process, we are hurting ourselves more deeply. And whatever they did, we're making it hurt us more by responding the way we are and being unwilling to forgive. And when we don't forgive, we find ourselves experiencing all the things that God doesn't want us to experience. He doesn't want you to be depressed and discouraged and angry and bitter. He doesn't want those things to characterize your life and your attitude and your actions. But they do. And we miss out on all of the very things that God does want us to experience as His children. And we will never heal if we never forgive. But when we do forgive, God goes to work. He goes to work healing and restoring. I've seen it. He goes to work making and the things that need to be made new. He goes to work mending the things that have been broken. He goes to work easing the pain, binding up the wounds that are hurting us so badly. God does that when we allow Him to, by forgiving and releasing the forgiving power of God in our lives. And that's why I love Psalm 147 and verse 3 so much. When the psalmist cries out, He heals the broken in heart and He binds up their wounds. Because that is the God that we know and we love, and that is our Heavenly Father who wants to do that for you and me if we allow Him to. Maybe there's some people you need to be forgiving so God can do some healing. And I know even after hearing what I've shared with you, these couple of simple things, I know you're probably thinking, well, I just can't do it. Or maybe you think, you know, I just need more time. I'm not quite ready, but here's the deal. You can't do it. But God can. In fact, He says in Psalm 73, verse 26, the psalmist says, My flesh and my heart, they fail, but God is the strength of my heart. Yes, when our flesh and our heart fails, when we can't do it, that is when God does His best, as I shared last week. So you can't do it, and you don't need more time to be ready. No, you don't need more time. You need more God, not more time. Because as even though the saying has been around forever, it is a lie in most instances. Time does not heal all wounds. God does. If we don't respond correctly to the wounds, then all time can do. You know what time will do? Time will allow us more time to become bitter and angry and spiteful and vengeful. But God heals all wounds if we allow Him the privilege to do so.